Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Greg Nelson and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? My gracious master and my God. Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. A Christian said, "Did Jesus have a sense of humor? Well, he certainly taught me how to laugh." The Greg Nelson singers are rejoicing as they sing, "This is the day the Lord has made."
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Today's message is entitled, His Abiding Presence. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another. Amen." I have such a vivid memory of it. There was just a breath of fall in the air as we drove onto the beautiful campus there at Berry College. It was one of those incredibly bright fall afternoons when the colors were rich and deep and just a few stray clouds seemed to hold themselves against the bluest sky that I can ever remember seeing. Berry College is located in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. The campus is reported to be the largest college campus in the world. It spreads across 32,000 acres. The buildings are secured beneath huge old oak trees with branches that gently sort of hover over and protect the sidewalks and the wide roads. It's so gorgeous. I recall thinking that if I had to paint a picture of the kind of college that I wanted my daughter to attend, I could not have imagined anything more beautiful than Berry College. Now, I have to confess to you that we were typical parents taking their first child off to college. We went to all of the meetings and finally went to our daughter's new room. Judy and I spent several hours with our daughter Laura getting the room just right. just when I was getting a little embarrassed about the drapes and the matching bedspreads that now adorned Laura's side of the room, you know, the rooms were cut in half. Now, her roommate's father came in carrying new carpet for the entire room. I'm sure that we provided a good laugh for the veteran college parents who came by this room that only a few hours earlier looked and smelled like any 50-year-old well-worn college dormitory. But now it gave the appearance of one of those linen boutiques in your major department stores. Now, those of you who have been through that experience know that what we were really doing was just postponing that inevitable time when we would have to leave our firstborn daughter at the crossroads of a new journey in her life. This time, however, we would have to leave her on her own. We would have to trust that her wisdom and ethics and all of those things that we try to teach her would stand firm and that she would be safe. Now, as we walked down that long, musty dormitory hall, I remember so well holding on to Laura and nervously giving her all of the last-minute fatherly advice that I could think of. Just before we left, I held her tightly in my arms and I said, "Remember, honey, we love you no matter what. We will pray for you every day." You know, I thought of it. I thought that it surely would be different when our next two children went off to college. But you know as well as I do, it really was not. And I tell you this story because as I read our scripture for today, I realized that this very intimate scene in the occasion, this is the occasion when Jesus is beginning to say goodbye to his disciples. He has called them together to give them the framework for the foundation of the church. Now, I think it's very important for us to listen to the words of this gospel writer and not try to intermingle those words of his with other gospel writers like Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, you see, John teaches us that Jesus put all of the laws of the commandments together when he said, "Love one another as I have loved you." And then he said to them, "I am no longer going to call you servants. Now I call you friends." Finally, as a way of putting it all together, I think, tied it all together, Jesus said to this new church, "By the way, do not forget, you did not choose me, I chose you." What a great word of confidence to them. The local church, I think, is the strongest center for the body of Christ. It is the fortress for the able and the hospital for the weak. I believe that the world looks to and is counting on the local church more than any other time in history, and I know you believe that too. I say this because it is the gathering place for believers. It is the place where we come to learn and to grow in faith so that we can live as God's people and people of faith. Soren Kierkegaard said, "Christianity is not a set of doctrine to learn. It is a life to be lived." Christianity is not a set of doctrines to learn. It is a life to be lived. Now, we must never forget that our lives as the people of God are to be lived out in relationships with one another and with God. Jesus said, "Abide with me." This is such a powerful word to us. It does not mean hang out with me and I'll show you how to do things. It does not mean check in with me from time to time and I'll see how things are going. It does not even mean to be sure to have regular church attendance. But friends, it does mean to live in a relationship of trust and knowledge. It does mean to live in a relationship of unity and intimacy. As we talk about the meaning of these words of Jesus, let me remind you again to think of something else. Think about the setting in which Jesus spoke these words. Jesus was trying to give to these dear friends and that family of his the very best description of how to live a life that he could. Some of these persons to whom he was speaking had known him all of his life. Sometimes we neglect to remember that Jesus was 33 years old. He had a family and friends and memories across his whole life. And now in these last few weeks of his life, he was trying to teach his beloved disciples and these friends how to live together after he was gone. He knew that they would have a tough time trying to understand what he was talking about. "Love one another," he said, "just like I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay one's life down for one's friends." Jesus was talking, of course, about the crucifixion. He would be laying down his life for them in just a short time. Can you feel the pain in his voice? Can you feel the pain that Jesus had in his voice when he spoke these words? What grief he must have felt knowing that he would be leaving them very soon. Now, as the church, we must abide not only in his words. No, we must live our lives in the meaning of how he lived his life for his friends. Several years ago, I attended a church, and When the pastor was welcoming the visitors, he said, "We welcome you to our church." Now, I know his intentions were right and honest, but he said something that we must guard against. The church is not ours. The church is not a location. The church is those persons who have committed themselves to love others just like Christ loves them. Think of how this attitude would affect your church, the one that you attend. You know, we human beings need to be loved and accepted way down deep inside our spirits. And that is exactly what Jesus is asking us to do for each other. Some years ago, I was attending, and I mean this is several decades ago, I was attending an evening worship at the Red Road United Methodist Church in Miami, Florida. Three of us had been asked there to come to share our witness about faith with that congregation. As I stood in front of that congregation that night, I looked out over the pews, and I saw Carl and Janet and Mary and Earl and Doc and Sue and several others that had come down just to be there to support us, those of us who were speaking. And you know, I know this may sound strange, but I think for the first time in my whole life, I felt the meaning of the body of Christ. I said to myself, those people really are my brothers and sisters. Now, I know nothing so powerful, nothing that I can imagine is so powerful as a deep sense of abiding and belonging to the body of Christ. Now, good friends, I hope that you belong to a church, but if you do not, I hope you'll find a church. If you have no choice, look for a Methodist church. Go to see the pastor and find out how to get connected. And it may be that you belong to a church and you're just sort of not really going and you know the name, but you're not sure. It may well be that you need to reach out and connect, because I can tell you that every person there has a deep desire to be known and loved by God and by somebody else. I hope you'll go back and belong where you are. Let God's Spirit work through you. Lord, how much we yearn to abide in your unconditional love. We catch a glimpse of it when we feel loved by someone so close to us, and we feel the loss of it when we are separated from you and one another. Help us today, Lord, to really know how to connect. In the name of Christ.
The Savior is waiting.
You know, when you sit and listen to the testimony of so many people, and you realize that their words are so powerful because they're from real life experiences, I realize that thousands of people need to hear those words. Each week, you know, we bring you the testimonies of real people that might never be heard. I know that after 40 years of being a pastor and 10 years working in reconciliation, that the real stories from real life settings are the most powerful expressions of the gospel. Our friend Janet taught me a great lesson. She said, "John, I know how to live on Sunday. What I need to learn is how to live in the hard six, Monday through Saturday." We learn so much from those who have learned how to live as God's people who were in the most difficult, hard circumstances and difficult decisions they've had to make. I hope you would help us, consider helping us tell their stories. Maybe it's one of your stories. But you know, only you can make that possible. I can tell you the truth. That's how it is. We have the stories. We know where to find them. We've interviewed the people. But you have the resources to make it possible for others to hear them with the gospel. I promise you we cannot do it without you, your support. I hope you'll consider doing that. I know I've been asking, but I need your help. I hope you don't forget. Go to our website, MethodistHourInternational.com. MethodistHourInternational.com. You'll find our address and how to give and all of that. Or you can email me direct. I'll respond to you as fast as I can. John Wolfe with an E, JohnWolfe@me.com. JohnWolfe@me.com. And I hope that this coming week will be a blessing for you. Hope you'll find a church if you're not already in a church. If you don't have one, try a Methodist church. We believe in open hearts, open minds, and open doors. People come. You don't have to be anything. Just show up and be blessed by the gospel. In the name of Christ, thank you. Bye.
And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.